When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Live in Tuscaloosa, our final hour of the Friday after Thanksgiving. We say hello to you again. It's been a great show, and we're not done yet. Cole Kublik joining us next. He is in Nashville covering the Tennessee Vanderbilt game, and we want to ask him about that, but also want to get his thoughts on the Iron Bowl and the Cadillac situation. Cole, thanks for the time. As always, let's talk about your game first, and especially trying to figure out which of these two programs as they meet in the middle of the night. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good to be with you. Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving and had all the kale salad that your heart desired yesterday.
So what gives tomorrow with this Tennessee program, which was the biggest story in college football last Saturday night?
I think it comes down to leadership, Paul, and I think this team's got a lot of it, even without Hendon Hooker. I think this is a team that has a lot of young men that have played a lot of football together. Even Joe Milton has been one of the leaders of this football team, this offensive line led by Darnell Wright, Javontez Spraggins, upperclassmen that have played a lot of football there in Knoxville. Defensively, they had Jeremy Banks out last week. He potentially going to be back to be able to help that side of the football this week. And facing a team that's not going to be able to operate, I don't think, in the same way that South Carolina could last week. I don't think Vanderbilt is as deep at wide receiver. I don't think they're as capable at quarterback as far as just top-end talent and ability that South Carolina was. Now, Vanderbilt can do some different things. Obviously, quarterback mobility with Mike Wright could be very different, but I just think this comes down to mindset, leadership. I know Hendon Hooker has still been around the program this week, talking to guys, trying to keep guys motivated, and 10 wins is a big deal. We don't spend a ton of time talking about it anymore because we focus on what you just mentioned, the college football playoff, but I still think a lot to play for in Rocky Top here as we wrap up this regular season.
And Cole, speaking of a lot to play for, we're here at the Iron Bowl, and I do want to get your thoughts on all of the noise about Lane Kiffin and measuring that to what Cadillac Williams has been doing here. Nobody has brought this story to the nation's eyes more vividly and more compellingly than you have over the last few weeks. Your thoughts on where we are right now?
Well, I'll start with Cadillac, Paul, and we had him on my show in Birmingham with Greg McElroy on Wednesday, and he continued to amaze me with his transparency. And I don't know, a little bit of that may just be that he's green. He hasn't been in these situations, hasn't had to answer these questions before, but just the honesty, the openness, the lack of coach speak that you get when you talk to Carnell Williams, it brings you no surprise that the players on that football team are reacting to him the way that they are. And just his ability to be mature and how he handles certain situations, the conversations he's told me about that he's had with some of the players, it's pretty apparent that effort has been different. And obviously, Will Friend, Ike Hilliard have done a good job reevaluating and re-scheming some things offensively. And, of course, Jess Smetting, I think he's altered a little bit defensively to be able to give Auburn a better chance. I don't know realistically what the chances are that Carnell could end up as Auburn's head football coach. I know there is a vast majority of Auburn fans that would have no problem with it, and a lot of them would absolutely love it just based on what he's done to the culture, what he's done to the attitude and the demeanor of that football team. Now, there would be a lot that would go along with it that he has not experienced. You get in the middle of a football season, Paul, a lot of the organization's already taken care of, what your practice schedule is going to look like, what your travel schedule is going to look like, your depth chart. And he's tinkered with a few of those things, changed a few of those things. Obviously, they've locked arms coming out of the tunnel. Chet Williams has been more involved with the football team. But you get to the offseason, that's where things really change. And that's where you have to have an idea of how this league works, how college football works. And if the right people were put around him, I think he'd be just fine handling it. Now, does John Cohen want to go that direction? I don't really believe so. As far as Lane Kiffin's concerned, I'm not sure what that thing is. You look at what he's done in Oxford. obviously a wonderful place to coach football with what they have in place. The Grove Collective looks like they're getting things put in order. You obviously have your staff built. You have won games there. You won 10 games a season ago. It had never been done in the regular season. So that'd be walking away from a lot that you had already constructed. And I can imagine that internally that would be a very difficult decision, no matter where it was you were going to go coach, if it was going to be somewhere else.
But, Cole, let's look at this realistically from an Ole Miss standpoint. Everything you said is correct, and I know how they feel about Lane because we've been there a couple of times this year, as you have. But what a disastrous finish. It's hard to imagine where this program was a couple of weeks ago and where it ended up. And at some point, you got to blame Lane Kiffin for that, don't you?
Oh, he's the head coach, and I think he would tell you a lot of that's on him, and he would take the blame for how his team showed up and how his team played. I don't think it was all miserable. I had a lot of folks saying, "Oh, wow, the attitude around Lane Kiffin must have really changed after the Arkansas game," and they put up 700 yards of offense. So they had a couple bad penalties, a couple bad turnovers that changed the score and gave Arkansas points. But I didn't think that he went out there and just laid an egg in that game. Last night they're in control of the Egg Bowl for the majority of the game, made some mistakes late. And they gave that game away, gave Mississippi State opportunities to take it. You had four downs inside the 20 to beat Alabama at home. Now, Lane even told us, he said, listen, it's inexcusable that Quinshon Judkins didn't get the ball on any of those snaps, but we had that opportunity, and he was absolutely sick about that football game when we visited him for the next weekend. So it's not the way you want to finish, and it is all about winning and losing games, but I do think if you dive into it a little bit deeper, it's not that the team checked out on him. It's not that he checked out on the team. It's not that the team quit or didn't give good effort. Some things didn't go their way. They made some questionable calls at certain points in time, and that's how it wrapped up.
Does that change any of the narrative, though, assuming he gets the job? A couple of weeks ago it looked like if Auburn got Lane Kiffin, it was the hire of all time. And I agree with everything you said about Lane Kiffin. I'm a big fan, but it just seems like what peculiar circumstances that he would be entering that job the way things ended in Oxford, assuming they're ending.
Well, I think even on top of that, Paul, you go back to the press conference last night, I don't think that there's much of that that sounds like Lane Kiffin is going to take the Auburn job. You would have to overcome that, and that would be just another hurdle that you'd have to take on as soon as you took a different job. I would counter with, what's the other name? There are so many coaching searches, Paul. You've been through a lot more of these than I have as a member of the media. This guy, they're going to go get this guy, and if they don't, they'll land on this man. Or if he doesn't get the job, it'll be this guy. Who's the other guy here that is going to satisfy the Auburn fan base, that is going to rile up the Auburn fan base? I'm not sure that guy's out there. I don't know who that guy is, and now I hear more and more names that are being thrown into the mix that I don't know if Auburn fans will truly be excited about. So if you get news in the next 24 hours that Lane Kiffin signing his extension in Oxford, Mississippi, there may be a little bit of scramble mode that's happening in Auburn, Alabama.
Well, I can assure you, I don't know. But Chris Lowe was here 3 hours ago, Cole, and he said, and again, he's a reporter that's all over the situation and has been, he said that he thought Hugh Freeze was really the only other name. And you tell me, if it ends up being Hugh Freeze, it's pretty obvious he's not the first choice. How does that play with your brethren?
I do think a portion of the fan base would be excited about it. I think a large portion of the fan base would have the understanding that he's won games in the SEC. He's defeated Alabama. That he knows how to recruit, because obviously he's brought top-level talent to the teams that he has coached, not only in the SEC, but in that division. So he knows what it's like to go up against those logos on an annual basis. Would there be some concerns with it from certain parts of the fan base? Absolutely. But I'm not going to be somebody who sits here and hold a grudge over things that have happened in someone's past. I'd be a hypocrite if I did that. There are parts of it that I think a lot of people would be concerned about, but I think there is not as big a portion that if it were Lane Kiffin, but I do think a pretty large portion of the fan base would look at it and say, okay, we think we can win games with Hugh Freeze, and I think Hugh Freeze would win games at Auburn. I have no doubts about that. I just don't know if it's going to be the polarizing yes and generate the same kind of excitement that Lane Kiffin would.
Before you go, let's get your thoughts on the actual game tomorrow. That is important. You know this Auburn team very well. You know Alabama. What's the thing that we should be keeping our eyes on?
I think it's Alabama's ability to run the football. And obviously Auburn's ability to run the football is going to be massive, Paul, because I don't think they can really bring true balance to this game. It's just Robbie Ashford's not going to turn into a guy that completes 25 of 30 for 350 yards and four touchdowns in a game. It's not going to happen in 1 week of practice. So we know Auburn's got to run the football. That's fairly obvious. But I think if Alabama can run the football, then you can play Auburn's game. You can bring their style of fight to what they have to do to win this football game. I also think by being able to do that, you go further in protecting Bryce Young, which is absolutely massive. There were multiple occasions last week against Austin Peay in which free runners got free shots on Bryce Young. Paul, that can't happen against an Auburn defense with Owen Papo and Derek Hall and Kobe Wood. You can't give those men free shots on your quarterback. He's not going to be able to survive that. So, and I also don't think Alabama has the receivers to just go separate themselves and take over a game like we saw Amari Cooper do or we saw Devonta Smith do. That player is not on this football team. So if Auburn neutralizes the rushing attack, I think they have enough to be able to, one, pressure the quarterback and enough to be able to run with the Alabama receivers to keep this game interesting. I think it will be an interesting game. I think Auburn's in the game in the fourth quarter. Are they going to need things to go their way? Absolutely. But I think the momentum is on Auburn's side. I think the motivation is on the side of this Auburn football team behind Carnell Williams. Paul, Alabama, we talk about this Tennessee football team and their motivation tomorrow. For the last 6 or 7 weeks, it's been playoff, 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 playoff. Well, that's not in the discussion anymore. Paul, for the last 6 or 7 years for Alabama, it's been playoff, 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 playoff. And now that's not really going to be a part of the equation. How does that football team react to that? I don't know. And I have confidence that Nick Saban can get them ready. But still, at the end of the day, a lot of it's on the individual players. Will they be ready? Will they be overly interested? Will they be overly motivated? We won't know until 2:30 tomorrow afternoon.
Always great, Cole Kubik, on these Friday afternoons when we can get him. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks, guys. Sorry about the movement.
Here in Tuscaloosa, where night has fallen, but the enthusiasm remains high for the Iron Bowl tomorrow. We're back after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Outside Bryant Denny Stadium as nightfall has arrived. The weekend has been here for a couple of days. So this is usually the beginning of the weekend, but Thanksgiving weekend starts early. And we are with Stephen M. Smith. I've seen too much of the other guy, Stephen A. Smith, this week. So it's great to see you from Touchdown Magazine. How have you been, and what's going on?
Doing great, Paul. I mean, enjoyed Thanksgiving meal with the family. I watched some Dallas Cowboy football with my father, and now get to be here with you on a great Friday.
Well, thank you. Where did you meet with your family? Are they here or somewhere else?
They met. We met them in Prattville, Alabama, sure. Which is about 1:30 from here.
Just north of Montgomery.
No, yes, sir. North of Montgomery, right there.
Roman Harper, who we work with, is, I think, from right around there.
Very familiar with him.
I bet you are. Let's talk about this Tide team. Many are calling it a big disappointment. Many are pointing fingers at this or that. You know the players. You know the mindset. What has been going on? And then we'll come to tomorrow.
Well, when you look at what's been going on, it's kind of a different year, Paul, and you can't really point to one specific thing. I think, number one, the coaching staff, there's been kind of a disconnect when you look at the ease that former offensive coordinators Lane Kiffin, Steve Sarkisian have had with quarterbacks versus Bill O'Brien. It's kind of been a disconnect there between he and Bryce Young, where with other coordinators, it's kind of an ease where the offense flow. With Bill O'Brien, not necessarily the offense flowing the way it needs to. You can see some frustration with Coach Saban also. And then defensively with Pete Golding, he knows what he's trying to do, but at the same time can make things overly complicated, which was different from the Jeremy Pruitts and Kirby Smarts, whereas you had three or four plays and you run around the field and knock guys' heads off and have fun with Pete Golding. Kind of an overly complicated playbook, which is the reason why guys seem lost from time to time. But number one, it's the coaching staff. And number two, you just kind of get a disconnect where the team, with the lack of vocal leadership, Bryce Young, Will Anderson, kind of your lead by example guys, but not the rah-rah, get-in-your-face leadership to hold guys accountable that Alabama's been used to have in the past. But I think the two losses on the season, Saban's finally starting to get these guys' attention, and with the energy Auburn's bringing in tomorrow, Saban knows we got to match the intensity that Cadillac Williams is bringing into Tuscaloosa.
Tell me this, and I think Pete Golding has been here for at least 5 years, has he not?
He got here 2018, but started calling the defense 2019, so about 4 to 5 years.
How can it be too complicated? And I understand what you're talking about, because I'm watching these games and trying to figure out why these guys are where they are. When Nick Saban is right there on the headset and at every practice, doesn't Nick Saban control everything?
Nick Saban is in control, but you kind of got to look at it this way, Paul. Saban's kind of a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, in a sense of he wants to have his coordinators have some type of say in running the game plan, running the defense, the offense. Now, of course, he can inject himself in here, sure, and a lot of the fan base would like to see him inject himself in here. But as Saban's gotten older, we've seen more of him taking his hands off and kind of allowing, okay, coordinator, you do your thing. Defensive guy, you do your thing. I'll jump in as I see fit to jump in. But we haven't really seen Saban be that guy that jumps in this season. We haven't seen much of that at all.
And I'll just say, as an observer, that's disturbing. The results seem to be indicative of that. I mean, we're not talking about some run-of-the-mill coach here. And I just, as somebody who knows what's going on there and hears from the players and hears from families, can that be reversed is my question.
It can be, but it starts with, Paul, you got to get back to the culture of the program, and that's getting back to having coaches that can relate to the players, meet them where they are, but then also offensively get back to the creativity you once had.
Right.
Steve Sarkisian was able to manipulate matchups and schemes and motions and eye candy to get those looks for Devontae Smith, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, the guys I've mentioned there, Lane Kiffin at the exact same thing. With O'Brien, the play call has been basic. It's been elementary. You kind of know what's going to happen. It's predictable. So you have to get back to that form of creativity, and then defensively simplifying that game plan and having a proven guy. As much as Saban likes Pete Golding, he saw him as a young guy, kind of when Kirby Smart first got here. A young Kirby Smart, you try to groom him and grow him. Saban, I guess, kind of saw that with Pete Golding, but at the same time, Alabama's a marquee program, major brand in college football. You have to have a proven guy in those spots.
And what's interesting about Pete Golding is he's well-respected in the coaching infrastructure. I mean, I've heard Sarkisian's tried to hire him. Lane Kiffin likes him. I mean, this is not some guy that Nick Saban has adopted and has said, I'm going to force you into being a good coach. There are a lot of people that think he's a good coach, which brings me back to, can he remain here with what you just got through telling me?
There's a chance, Paul, but for Pete Golding, it's going to start with how does it look tomorrow? When you're coming in here and you're facing an Auburn team that's playing with nothing to lose,
right.
Everybody's behind Cadillac Williams, as they should be, because he's trying to coach himself into the Auburn job, if not another job somewhere down the road. So for Pete Golding, it's how do you have those guys coming out that tunnel tomorrow, and how do you have them wanting to play for you? It's one thing to be well-respected coach, which he is, but do those players in the locker room, do they want to play for you? Do they want to run through that brick wall for you? Because I remember the Kirby Smarts, they would hop off the moon for Kirby Smart.
Yeah.
They would hop off the moon for Jeremy Pruitt. How do they do that, Pete Golding? And we'll start to figure more of that out tomorrow evening.
And Bill O'Brien,
absolutely.
I mean, as an observer, I don't get the guy. I can't figure out sometimes, like, what in the world are you doing? And if maybe I'm just not a football observer, Nick Saban sees something in Bill O'Brien that I don't. But what do you see in Bill O'Brien?
I see he's a pro coach coming from the NFL, but the college game is you've got to mix things up. You've got to make defenses defend every inch, every yard of the field. And when you watch Bill O'Brien, it's even the route concepts for wide receivers. They're all either going deep down the field, deep post patterns, routes that take a long time to develop. Where are the slants, the short hitches, the short curls, the short post patterns, the short square ends to get these guys working open to a Bryce Young? I've made this point before. When you look at the Mac Jones, Steve Sarkisian had it like an app. You hit the button, the window goes up by itself. When you look at with Bryce Young, with Bill O'Brien, it's like Bryce Young's driving a pickup truck and he has to roll the window up. It's difficult that way. It's working hard, not necessarily working smart. And that's the mindset there of Bill O'Brien.
And we're talking about a program. You mentioned a couple of guys, and let me also interject. Brian Daboll was here for a year, wasn't he?
Absolutely. He was here 2017. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, this program has seen the best and the brightest. And O'Brien was well-regarded as a head coach at Penn State. He did a marvelous job there. His Houston tenure got derailed when he became the GM, or maybe he was always the GM. But it's just – which brings me back to Nick Saban. What do you see in Nick Saban? What do you sense that he can deal with this? This is a crisis. I mean, fans can say, hey, don't be hard on Nick Saban. Two losses, 4 points. But this is a big moment for Nick Saban.
This is a pivotal moment because what the Alabama fan base has hung on to for the last 16 years, they remember when Coach Saban stepped off the plane in 2007. He was about 56, 58 years old at the time. And he looked into a sea of Crimson Tide fans that they were desperate for a winner. They were desperate for a coach that can get it back to the prominent years. And one of the first things Coach Saban said was, we're going to give you a product that you can be proud of.
Right.
And for the most part, legacy-wise, he's proven accurately on that. But the last 2 years, Bama Nation looks at this product and go, Coach Nick, we're not particularly happy with this. Because it's because even in the seasons,
sure,
Paul, where Bama had took a loss or two, they saw the effort, they saw the fight, they saw the commitment, the pride, most importantly, the discipline. And they haven't seen that with these last two teams, more in particular, this team. So this is a pivotal point for Coach Saban. The next coaching moves, they've got to be home run moves. And not just that, in recruiting, these next recruiting moves in terms of players have got to be home run moves.
Extraordinary conversation with Stephen M. Smith of Touchdown Alabama Magazine. Thank you for coming by here.
It's my pleasure, man. This is fun. This is always fun.
Always great to see you. That was something people need to chew on, what Stephen M. just said. Not being critical. He's being objective. You don't get a lot of that in this state. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back here. Our final 30 minutes in Tuscaloosa. Chris Doering joining us, as he always does on these Friday nights, to get his take on some of the games. We have a game starting shortly. Florida at Florida State. Don't need to introduce you to this rivalry, Chris. Take it away.
No, I wore the worst possible outfit. I wasn't even thinking about this game going tonight, and here I am looking like the biggest Florida State homer there is. But I'll tell you this. This is a game that I honestly believe that Florida can win, despite being a 10-point underdog going on the road in Tallahassee. The thing that has to happen is the thing that we talked about early in the season, and this team will go as far as Anthony Richardson can carry them. Paul, the thing that frustrated me last week against Vanderbilt, the thing that's frustrated me at times throughout the entire season, is that Anthony Richardson has not been selfish enough. When you're the best player on the field, when you're the most athletic, when you're the leader of the team, sometimes you have to be selfish. Sometimes the best athletes, whether it's basketball, football, baseball, they want the game to come down to their performance, whether they succeed or whether they fail. And more times than not, he is giving the football up when he should be holding it. I don't care what reads the defenders give you, and some of those zone read looks, if they're trying to make you give the ball away. Sometimes you just got to be an athlete. Go take the football. Go be selfish and go carry your team to a victory. Now, everybody's going to point to this role that Mike Norvell's team's been on and how much they've improved throughout the year. But who's the best win that they've had? It's probably LSU, and it's back in week one. Other than that, I haven't been all that impressed with the resume that Florida State has to this point in time. I'm sure I sound like an SEC homer and a Florida homer here, but I honestly believe that Florida can go in and win this game if Anthony Richardson is the selfish player he needs to be tonight, carrying the football, running it outside the pocket, throwing on the run, utilizing that offensive line and that trio of running backs behind him. But I think this is going to be a fantastic game, and I'm looking forward to it.
With Chris Doering, we have the next game, LSU, heading to Atlanta at A&M.
Yeah, it's interesting this week, right? You got that big game in 2 weeks in Atlanta, as you mentioned, for the SEC championship, and standing in front of them is a team that pretty much everybody's left for dead at this point, which I think makes them a little bit dangerous. Connor Wegman trying to build for the future. I believe both Devon Achane and Stewart both practiced this week. It'll be interesting to see whether or not they go. But to me, this is all about LSU, and I think that UAB game last week was huge for them to get back on track. They didn't look very good offensively against Arkansas. Jaden Daniels turned the football over a couple times. The offensive line gave up 7 sacks. But I thought last week was an opportunity to get right, reassert yourself as that team that we had seen the previous 3 weeks before the Arkansas game. And I think this is all about Matt House, that defense, the game plan that they put together to defend Connor Wegman, the freshman. It's the thing I think every week we want to see what Harold Perkins Jr. does next. I do think that LSU is focused in this one. I think the defense locks down Texas A&M's offense, who has largely been anemic for the majority of the year, and they move on with that 2-loss record to Atlanta next week.
Tennessee heads to Vanderbilt.
Yeah, Paul, this is more to me about the measuring stick for where this program is right now. You know, I think we've celebrated Josh Heupel in year two and how far he's taken this team, but clearly you lose your best player, your veteran leader there at the quarterback spot, the guy that makes the offense run. But I believe this program is more than just Hendon Hooker, and I believe it's more than just the offense. The defense was embarrassed last week. They're going to be highly motivated to come back. This is an opportunity to set the record straight, that embarrassing loss to South Carolina is not really who Tennessee is. So I think this is a litmus test for where the program is, how mature they are as a group. You have the benefit of having Joe Milton, a true tested quarterback, a starter at two different places before. I know that he hasn't necessarily lit it up as a starter at Tennessee, but I think this is his opportunity to step up. As we talk about as players all the time, you're only one heartbeat away from being a starter, and now it's his chance to take this offense. I think Tennessee rights the ship. I believe that they are way ahead of where they were last year culturally, and I think there'll be some new leaders that step up on Saturday.
South Carolina heads upstate to Clemson.
Golly, I mean, I came on this show last week and basically left South Carolina for dead. I mean, after watching the way they played against Florida the previous week, nothing going offensively. Defensively, they couldn't do anything to stop Florida in the first half. And then they come out and physically whip Tennessee on both lines of scrimmage. Now, this is going to be a much different test on the lines of scrimmage that they'll face this week with Clemson. But the thing that really stood out to me was just how talented this group of wide receivers and pass catchers in general was around Spencer Rattler. I mean, we've been talking all year long about the accumulation of talent, but they just haven't been able to utilize that, whether it's a matter of the quarterback not having time to throw or him not understanding the game plan. But the thing that was impressive to me last week with this Marcus Satterfield offensive game plan against Tennessee was just how dynamic and explosive and creative it was. Some creativity that had been missing for a long time this season. But the best thing about it was the execution. And I think the execution is what's going to give this team some confidence going into playing against Clemson. If they can get protection up front, I think Juice Wells and Josh Van and those receivers are able to make some plays down the field against Clemson's secondary. I just don't know if they're going to be able to protect up front against what is probably the best defensive line they've placed all year.
And we end where we are here, the Iron Bowl, Auburn at Alabama.
Yeah, so many dynamics here, and I think the one that stands out to me the most, Paul, is the fact that this will probably be the last home game that we'll ever get a chance to watch Bryce Young and Will Anderson play. Very rarely in college football do people live up to the hype of the recruiting when they're coming out of high school, but I think both of these players have not only lived up to the hype, they've exceeded the hype. It's been a pleasure not only watching them play, but representing this conference as a whole, and specifically Alabama. I'm going to be sad that both of those guys, you know, haven't had a chance to win a national championship in the last 2 years. But I do think it's a game that they will go out winners. I love the Cadillac story and what he's been able to do to get things going with Auburn's program and create a little momentum here. But I just don't think they have enough. It's a pretty big disparity when it comes to talent between the two rosters.
Chris Doering from Studio, we appreciate it. We'll see you next week.
Thanks,
in
Paul.
Atlanta, SEC Championship game a week away. And we're not done here yet. We still have a little bit of time remaining as we bring you the show live from Tuscaloosa. Your phone calls will round it out at 855-242-7285. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.